Hey legends, my name is Mo and welcome to the Can't Can Will podcast. I am a Royal Marine who is dedicated to optimising human performance and want to bring you exposure to the fantastic people supporting the same aim. This show's next guest is as focused as they come. She has always stepped in her own direction and is driven to achieve her ambition on signing with the UFC. The current Cage Warriors champion will talk about equality of opportunity, being a woman in a man's world, and her mindset as she drives to become better tomorrow than today. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast channel for updates on new releases. And why not leave a review on your podcast provider and follow us on Instagram on the @MoMorrisRM page to show your support. Episode 24, Rhiannon Hudson. Oh, good. I have to double check the recording because I did one the other day and fortunately he's my friend. And at the end, I was like, mate, thanks very much, blah, blah, blah. And then I looked up at the screen and it was like about an hour and 20 minutes. And
it wasn't recorded.
It didn't record. I was like, oh no. So fortunately, he's one of my mates, so I can go back and do it again. But now I've got to leave it a little bit of time. Otherwise, it'll seem a bit sort of odd. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What is that?
At least you know what you're doing.
Well, I don't know about that. What's that you're sat on? Is that a chair?
Yeah, it's just a big chair in my house.
That's a normal size chair, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mum's chair, so that's why it's so big and and grand.
I love it. Absolutely love it. How have you been anyway? You're right.
Yeah, been really, really good. So weather's been nice for the last couple of weeks as well. So been out doing more, get more out of training as well. It's not cold in the gym when as soon as you walk in no more, so that's always a positive.
The sun, the days are earlier and the sun is shining, and that's always better for everything, right?
Literally, like your mood's just so much better every time. Like I finish quite late in the gyms. I finish at like 9 o'clock in the evening, and I'd get it just pitch black. You start your morning off and you wake up pitch black. You just are. Am I going to see any more people? Daylight's just like ghost town. Everyone disappears off early as well. It's just, and more people come to the gyms as well during the summer and stuff like that as well, so it's good.
But that's a disadvantage as well, because way like you're used to having the run of the place almost in the winter when everyone's hibernating and not putting the hard yards in, and then all of a sudden everyone like glory hunts a little bit and goes, oh, I'm going to go to the gym now, and then it's like can be a bit frustrating as well.
It can be a bit frustrating because you think, oh, you're used to, like, if you go like to a normal gym, you're like, oh, I know I can always guarantee get on that piece of equipment. And then when everyone else is there, or like the start of the year in January, everyone on their puts on their list, yeah, I'm going to start the gym. And they last for a couple of weeks and you just have to put up with it. And then they just go back off. They get disinterested again. So you just have to go with like the peaks and flows of people deciding to be fit.
Where are you training out of then?
So I train out of the MMA clinic in Romford, and we have another one in Angel.
Okay.
In Islington. So I train between those two. And then I do my strength and conditioning at PWR Gym in East Tilbury. So basically in Essex, that's where that's like my training.
So talk to me about this, right? I'm really interested to know that on how the fighting came around, yeah? Because most girls, stereotypically, when they grow up, they want to be something that is not an MMA fighter. So how the hell did that come about? Like what was that? Was that something you always wanted to do? Is it like how does this work?
It was funny because I've always been really athletic as a child. I did all the sports. I did football. I did netball, hockey. I did it all.
You were one of those annoying kids that was really good at everything.
Oh, I don't know if I was really good at everything. I just gave it my best go at everything. And I was really into sports. That's where I felt. I've always been quite a tomboy anyway. So like, I was always with the boys. We was always playing sports and doing something. So then I got to secondary school and then I was a bit like, oh, I didn't really enjoy it no more. It weren't really cool to do all the sports. And it was just like, I didn't pick up on it. I just sort of like left it be. I was changing, got new friends. And then when I was leaving, so when I was turning 16 and I was leaving school and I was like, oh, I didn't want a normal academic job, or I wasn't really big. Like I took school for what it was. I got my grades, but I wanted to do something. I wanted to get back to being fit, and I wanted to like because you're never going to be with these people. Like, you have a few friends you keep from school, but like the atmosphere different. You go into the world, like you've gone from a teenager and then you've got to go to college, and there's adults in college as well. So I sort of like was like, oh, I'm going to grow into the world as well. So let me try something else out. I really wanted to get back into sports again because I thought I was a bit out of shape. And then I was thinking to myself, what should I do? And it was at the time where like UFC was quite big. Ronda Rousey was coming up and Conor McGregor. And I was like, I never tried combat sports. And I was like, I could do that. And then I found literally a local Thai gym, like Muay Thai gym. And I went straight there. And from the day I went in there, I was like, I'm going to be a fighter now. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I just loved it. I weren't that great when I first started, but I was like, I know if I stick to it, I can be good at this. This is where I fit into the world.
Let me go back to something you just said then about when you like basically cantered through like 18 years of your life in about 2 minutes. I want to go back to something you just said then about it wasn't cool to do sport at school. Yeah. I got two daughters. They're not secondary school age yet, but one of them will be in a few years' time. I'm interested from a personal perspective, but anyway, why it wasn't cool to do sport.
I think everyone wants to like kind of like fit in. And so like if you're more friends with like the really girly girls, they're sort of like, oh, we can't be asked. We don't want to join that club after school or before or at lunch. So you sort of like friendship wise and socially wise, I guess it's not really cool anyway, but it's also not cool to put effort in. And I think that goes through a lot of things in life. Everyone like to put minimal effort in is like okay for some people. So like even in PE, I'd be like if we was doing netball, I'd actually play netball. I'd do it properly. I wouldn't, that to me, there's no point of half-assing anything. So when like the other girls, like you'd look around and like half of the gym is just like chatting or not doing anything.
Why is that though? Is that because they like some people just don't like activity? Yeah. That's cool. I never like art too much. So I just sort of didn't really pay attention and didn't really do that. That wasn't my thing. But is that the only reason why do you think that happens?
No, I think a lot, as I've noticed being in sports, I've noticed that I think women's sport is like sort of, it's like second best. It's like, oh, you're given the opportunity just for the sake of giving the opportunity. Like you play football because we give it to the boys and the boys play football. We don't expect you to be good at it. And I think that's what it is. I think there's always been a low expectation in women's sport. And that energy comes off through the teachers and through peers and society. Like even no, football's so big in England. We don't really watch women's football. It's on. They give it the opportunity to put it on TV, but that's not where all the advertisement is. That's not where every Sunday all the lads are going to the pub to watch the Lionesses. They're not. They're also not paid the same. But they, I think everything sort of, I don't know, it's bad to say, it's just done for the opportunity. Like, oh, if they want to do it, they can do it. But there's just that expectation that we're never going to be as good as the guys. So there's like, it's like, oh, we'll give them the shot. We're not going to really like push them. I think that's what it is. I think girls are not really pushed to do well in sports. And if you are, you're like, it's because you're talented to do it. If that's the right word, like maybe they see something in you and they're like, oh, okay, we'll push that person, but they won't push everything. And then you sort of maybe fall into that habit. I know I definitely did. Then when I was in PE, it was just like, it was just a class. We was just in PE uniform, but we all just had a chat. And now and again threw a ball, or like when we used to do cross country, we'd just be like jogging and chatting, and half the field, you'd look around, half the field would be walking. I think that's what it is. I think it's the perceived effort of what women in sports should be and do. And if I think society's always pushed that if you was a woman in sport and you was famous or like famous Olympians, they was always just seen as them as just in athletics or their chosen sport. They was not shown as could be anything else or was interacted with anything else. It was just, there you go, they're running around a track. That's Jessica Ennis or whoever. I think that's what it is. I think there's just not a lot of light or passion behind women's sports.
So if you was a teacher now, look like in your time,
yeah,
when you was a kid and you were a teacher, role reversal, is there anything that the teachers could do, noting that it's not just school that creates this issue? Is there anything you would have done as a teacher that would have motivated you and your friends to participate more?
Yeah, I think even having a teacher that actually was generally interested in sports as well, my PE teacher wasn't really like passionate about us doing it. It was just her class that she took. So she would even chat to us and just like hang around. I think she was quite young as well. So maybe she felt a bit like comfortable. Like we was sort of like similar in the age bracket, maybe like we was like 15 and she was maybe 20, 25 or between that age. So I think it just become like, if there was a teacher that was actually passionate, or like we had sports programs that were really like enforced and we got sports women in to say like, this is our experience, this is what you can do, this is where you can go in life. I think a lot of women's sports as well, like you don't really go anywhere. If all the boys that play football in my school was on day release, they'd get days off school to go play football. And then they would get a football contract at the end of it, and you could see the goal of what they could be. They would be like, they would earn loads of money, they would be endorsement deals, they could be exactly what they wanted to be. Whereas if you was a kid in school and said, oh, I'm going to play netball, it was like, oh, netball's like not a niche thing, but it's small, it's on certain channels at certain times, you travel, but there's no, maybe it's the glitz and glamour of it, maybe there's no like, there's not really like a straight path, like you would still have to do your job on the side, like whereas a footballer just goes and plays football. There is no, oh, you can do that. But I think women's sports looked at as a hobby and not of a career path. And I think that's what it is. If it was really shown and educated to us that this is a career and not just an hour where the government says we have to do a bit of physical education, I think if they changed that perspective and the teachers were passionate themselves about their lessons, then I think that would make a big difference to everyone actually being, oh, we've actually got to participate. Same way we have to do maths. We can't just choose to ignore the maths teacher. I think maybe that's what would be needed in schools.
Do you think it's getting any better though? Like not just schools, but just women's sport. Do you think it's going in the right direction, or do you think it's sort of paid lip service to still?
I think it depends on the sport. I know a lot of women in football, and I know that's sort of like getting more notoriety than it did before. And obviously I'm in combat sports, and I think that's the only sport where both men and women can really be successful in both. Like, I know everyone likes to talk about like pay between sports, but I think MMA is the only sport where men and women can earn the same. It's not really based on gender and stuff like that. It is generally based on skill level. If you was exciting, you get your bonus. If you're in the UFC, you get your standard pay depending on how many fights you've had, what experience level you're at. If you're a star, you get paid more than other people. It's not just this is the budget for the men because we know we've got more viewers in the men, and here's the budget for the women, and we've got women that are okay and they can do the job. So I definitely think it's improving, and I definitely think a lot more people becoming more sports orientated now in some way, form or another. I know there's way more loads of kids in the gyms now than there was before, but I do think it depends on sport and it depends on where you see it. If you've never been shown that you could go anywhere in anything, you're never going to believe you can do it. You can think it, and everyone will pat you on the shoulder and say, that's a nice idea. And I think that's what the perception is. Everything you do is, it's a nice idea, it's a hobby, but I don't think people believe because they haven't really seen it. So I think a big thing is advertisement. Like I said, just people that are actually there and passionate about it, giving it back to the next generation.
When you mentioned something saying that people don't think that men are as good, or the women aren't as good as men.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's something that women should aspire to be?
Yeah, 100%. I think it does come down to that expectation and what is expected of you. I've been in a combat sports gym, and what I do for work, I've always been the only girl. But I'm so comfortable around boys. Like I said, I was a tomboy. The majority of my friends, I have my friends that are female, but most of my friends are male. So I'm quite comfortable to be in that surrounding. So when I go to the gym, arguably I'm the only girl that's in. But I'm okay with that. But I always push myself. I'm like, okay, then I'm not going to be treated as, like, I want to be treated. If you're going to do jiu-jitsu with someone, I don't want someone to be like, ferrying around and being half-assed. I want to do it exactly like you do it to him, because I want to be better than him. If that makes sense. I know you shouldn't compare yourself, but in a sport where you're trying to improve and trying to get better, I do go, that's the next person I want to be better than inside the gym. They're all boys, so I compete to be just as good as them, if not better than them. And I am realistic enough to go, if I want to be taken seriously, I kind of have to be better than them, very little on the same level as them, to get the look and to get the, is she actually doing that? Oh, that's quite cool. And not just, she thinks she can have a go. She thinks she can do this. So I think you do have to be the same as the boys, or compete against the boys, to get maybe at least half the recognition that the boys get, because you'll see like so much talent and they'll go, that young boy is definitely going to be something when he's older, or when he gets a bit more mature. But then you don't really hear people say that about women in sport. You don't go, she's going to be a great fighter in a few years' time, or she's going to be a great netball star in a few years' time, because it's not really highlighted. I think it's weird, because I think MMA is perfect for both genders. It really is. I think when you look at, I think it's better than women's boxing. I think there's a higher level of fighters in women's MMA than there is in women's boxing. And even if you watch, women's boxing is coming up there. They get put on the same cards as the men. It's not, you can go watch Katie Taylor's going to headline like next weekend, I think. So it's not like we're pushed only on the undercards. But I think still, with the other fights that are on, if you're not a name like Katie Taylor, if there's just a female fight that's thrown in, I think people still do look at it just like, they're not good. They haven't got the movement the same as the boys, or they haven't got this, or they haven't got that. So there's always that comparison. But I think you've got to want it, and you've got to want to be the best at it. So if you've got those two things, whether you're a man or a female, you'll definitely go somewhere in it. I just do think that I personally do kind of compete with the boys.
I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because you've got a situation where that someone like Katie Taylor, as you mentioned, she's been pretty groundbreaking for women's boxing, certainly professional. Yeah. And when you look at the people that she's fought some really high level women's boxers, boxers, yeah. But when you look at the volume of those, it is less than the men, because they don't have enough uptake coming through the generations. But someone like her, it inspires people to take up that sport, to be part of that uptake.
Definitely. She has shone a light on women's boxing so much. Little girls all over the world do look and go, I can do that. It only takes one person to do it. Like, that's what the whole rise in Ireland was when Conor McGregor did it, because nobody else had seen that. So then there was this craze of, if you was to go to SBG Ireland now, it's 100 people on the mats a day. Before, there was probably on the verge of closing every month. But because it only takes that one person, and to see and be able to go, it's not just a dream. Like, I can actually visualize that. I can get there. I can do that. And I think that's what it is. And Katie Taylor's done tremendous for the sport. And she has now made loads. There will be a generation of fighters where they are like, there's going to be more girls in sports now. I guess it's probably, when she was coming up, it's probably hard for her to even find opponents, because there's not really a lot of women that do it. And then taking to age, and I know boxers stay amateur for a lot longer than most people. So when she was coming up for the amateurs, she probably got recycled a lot of opponents. Like, so I guess, there is that
difference. It's also down to, you know, at the bottom line is, at the highest levels, sport is a business. And so if you were going to look at an investment, certainly before there's been over the last sort of 10 years, a surge in female uptake in sport, it wasn't, from a business perspective, it didn't seem to be a very good investment, because your return
profitable.
No, absolutely. So, but now that's starting to change. And I think, you know, like we mentioned with Katie Taylor, where it is profitable now, but it wasn't before. And it's like there almost had to be an aligning of the planets and some singular superstars everywhere to be able to get that momentum moving forward. And the same as like Emily Scarrett in women's rugby, like she won her 100th cap the other day. these stalwarts of female sport, certainly in sports outside of, say, like tennis, which is, which has been fairly established. Like, that doesn't need to be explained. It speaks for itself. You know, that's kind of what it's taken is those types of superstars to come up from around the world to make it more, I suppose, from a business perspective, more profitable, because that's what owners want and promoters want, but also to increase participation, to get that base of athlete to be able to compete and improve the level as it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, 100%. It does need those stars, if you will, to then go have all the lights and attention, and everyone go, yeah, we can. Like, I guess they looked at Katie Taylor, and not only was she, I think she shocked a lot of people, because I think, again, coming back to expectations of women in boxing, I don't think anyone assumed women could be that dominant the way Katie Taylor was. And she's a heavy hitter. So I think it was like, there was that shock factor of, wow. And then the way she could speak and present herself. And then maybe they thought, oh, we could get her in an advertisement deal with, I don't know, she's advertised by JD now and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, they see where they can market you otherwise, everywhere else. And they think globally where they can market you, and how many people are you going to pull back in? So yeah, it definitely does have a lot to do with business and stars and where they can market you. I totally agree with that. But I definitely think it's a way more better than it was before now. Look, nearly every advert, I know everything's inclusive nowadays for everyone, but sports adverts mainly, like, it's not just your Anthony Joshua, that's the poster boy for, I don't know, Lucozade Sport. There's a woman as well that does that. So I think having, I know to an extent some people, inclusivity is a bit like, all right, guys, is it realistic? But I definitely think it is helping a lot in the sports to know that, oh, I didn't know that's what that person does. Or, oh, we have a class like that around the road. There's a track facility around the corner. They do running however many times a week. Oh, mum, I want to go do that. Can I try that out? You've always had like basic things in school. You've had football, the girls play netball, you have hockey. And like as an after school club, they always did, like when we was younger, karate, but it was never like, I don't want to knock karate, but it's not like real, I don't want to say it, but like, it's not like real world. Like you're never, unless it's like sport karate and kickboxing, is how can you really use it into the real world? It's not, and that's also not seen.
So when you decided you went to the, was it Muay Thai, did you say?
Yeah, Muay Thai gym, yeah.
Yeah, when you went there and then you come back and you said, you spoke to your parents and went, I love this, I want to be a fighter. What was the reaction?
To be fair, I'm quite lucky because they was like, that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. I think they've always known I have two other sisters and I'm like the son my dad never had. Like I have an older sister, she's super girly, and I have a young sister and she's super girly. So I think they was never going to expect me to do something normal or average. I think if I had a fit, it'd be to be like everyone else, to be mediocre. I can't, it makes my skin crawl to want to do something the same as everyone else. So
why is that? I'm interested on that. Why does it make your skin crawl to like be average or do what everyone else is doing?
Point in it. Like it's very stagnant. Like you're not doing anything that's different. You're not moving differently. You're not speaking differently. You're not traveling differently. There's nothing about that energy that's different or new or fresh or like progressive.
Have you always been like that?
Oh, yeah. I've always never wanted to be like, I've never wanted to fit the crowd, but not like in like, I'm going to be different, like purposely or like trying. It's just not, never been my thing to be like, oh, everyone else is doing that. I'm going to go off and do that. Is what I just feel like, why would you want to be like everyone else? Like, the world spins. You've got a limited time on it. Why would you want to waste it? Like, I think that's my perception of it. I never was one to go with the whole society. You go to school, you go to sixth form, you go to university, and then you go and get this boring job that everyone hates. You go into the city and everyone is like a zombie. Like, they go to a job they don't like, to be with people they don't like. to talk about things they don't really like, to go home and have that 4 hours before they go to bed where they can be themselves, but they don't really get to share it or do anything about it because they have a limited amount of time before they have to get up and go back into the cycle again and just carry on. And then before you know it, you're 56 years old and you're like, oh, my life has slipped away. Now, oh, let me try and create something that brings me like happiness or passion. And what are you going to do when, like, not saying you can't do anything of that, but like now you've got to spend another half of your life trying to claw back something when you could have had it the whole time. And I think society does such a good job of making sure that everyone just fits like a little tick sheet. You're like, yeah, like you just tick off the boxes. Yeah, oh, good. I'm nearly 30, got to have kids, got to have a husband, got to have my house. And I've just never, I don't know, it just makes me feel like, why would you want to do that? Why?
Do you find it hard to fit in?
No.
To be that way?
No, I feel like...
Not fit in, but do you find... That's probably the wrong... It sounds like you're odd. And you're not necessarily odd, but if a lot of people that you know are like that,
yeah,
and you're not, how is that okay? Is it normal? Is it accepted?
I get along with everyone, and all of my friends are all different, and everyone does different things. I'm so like, I'm very open about the way I live and what I do, and oh, why would you want to do that? And I do have these conversations with my friends. Like, if you don't like that person, why do you let them even in your space? Like, get rid of them. I don't know, delete someone off of Instagram. Do, like, it's your life. Like, you have control. And I think I don't think it's been drilled into us enough that we actually do have control of our lives, and we do control whatever we want. If we want to be happy, we can control that. If we want to be sad, we can control that. So I've always been very open like that, but I've never pushed it on anyone and been like, your job's so bad, why would you want to do that? You're so like everyone else. Like, I've never done that. So I think maybe that's why I do get along with a lot of people, because I've never pushed, like, just because I think like this, it doesn't mean it's right. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone, you could be sitting there thinking, no, you're going to come a cropper in a couple of years, kid. But I'd rather live the way I want to live. And like, I'm not scared of making mistakes. I'm not scared. I don't shy away from, oh, do you know what? Maybe, I don't know, if I'm like 30, maybe when I was 25, I should have actually bought that house. Maybe I shouldn't have gone traveling instead. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not afraid to have got to a certain age and gone, oh, I could have done that differently, but would I have got to where I am now without it? That builds you. I think I love the idea of like everything shapes and creates you and your life and your surroundings and the people you meet. And I think, yeah, because I just get along with everyone, I don't push it on anyone. That's why I don't stick out so much as like a big sore thumb of being different.
The point you made there about controlling things, and you know, if you don't like that, change it. You know, it's easier said than done, though, to be fair, because sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you find yourself. Go on.
So no, yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's only in the last few years that I've really like pushed that to myself to say, no, you don't have to put up with this. You don't have to put up with that. You can change this. You can change that. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? I definitely get that. I definitely think it is easier said than done, because if you do hate the job you go to, but you've got a family, that is something you have to think about. Oh, I might not like this job, but the job looks after my family. It supports my children. It supports the education, the bills. I totally get that as well.
But I suppose with that, it's about, you know, maybe looking at that and going, okay, well, that's the status quo right now, but my plan is this, rather than just accepting
that's
forever. Don't just accept it, because, you know, at the end of the day, I suppose we've got to do things we don't like to do.
Yeah.
And we're not going to enjoy everything. We're not going to be happy. You know, this notion that, oh, we just need to be happy. I mean, that's just a load of crap. It's great to be happy, but you can't be happy all day, every day, forever.
No, it is an impossible task to do that, because, again, you don't learn anything from being happy all the time. You don't learn. If you're constantly happy, then, again, you're not being progressive. you're not moving up. You're just bobbing along and floating along in life. And I do
Some people might like that.
I get that. I think that's a comfort zone thing.
That's not you.
Yeah, like, I just don't, like, I do like doing things that make me happy. Like, I like fighting. But I don't love every gym session. I don't love every S&C session when I have to lift heavy weights and it really hurts or I've got an injury or, like, even though I compete with the boys and I think I'm one of the boys and then I get crushed when I get taken down and I'm like, oh, realization there. I'm not actually like them. Definitely like, but you need them to grow in life. If you was constantly happy, then where are you going to learn? When you need to be told no in life. You need to be told that's not okay. But you also need to have the self-realization to say that to yourself as well, not constantly hear it from other people. I think that people struggle with no and you can't do it. And I guess, it's the driving thing. If you get told no, you can't do something, you automatically go, yeah, I can. You get told not to push a red button, I'm going to push it. So I think you need it because it draws that something out of you. I don't know, maybe not everyone has it. But I think, again, that's just society that's made everyone like squished everyone. Everything's neat and comfy and you don't have to do this because we'll get someone else to do that for you instead. And there is loopholes away around things. But I don't think that's not really living.
It's not.
If that makes sense.
And the term sort of happy is like everyone's got a different version of what that looks like as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you don't have to like your gym sessions, but you know that that's necessary.
Yeah.
So it's about what is needed. So much the same, I suppose, when people would look at, like, listen to this, or they look at what you go train in the gym and go, why would you go train in? It's almost the same perception as, like, why would you work in the city, you know, 15 hours a day and not see anybody? You know, maybe what they're doing is might be a necessity to do that to get X, whereas for you, the gym session's like, I need to do this. It's not a choice, although it is a choice, but, like, my choice was to achieve X, Y, and Z. So for me to do that, this is absolutely part of the process. I can't chop this out. Otherwise, I'm not going to get what I plan to get.
Yeah. 100%. And I feel like people are not honest about that. Like you said, everyone's got their different perception of happiness. And I think nobody's honest and can be confident to say, this is my version of happy. Not your version of happy, or this is my version of living. Like, it's easy for me to sit here and, like I just said, judge everyone that works in the city or stereotype them to live a boring, mundane life. But that might be someone's goal to do that. And I don't think enough people are confident to go, that makes me happy. Or like, oh, I want to do that. I think everyone, especially, I don't know, I think like there's a big thing where social media is so big now. And it was amazing because you can talk to everyone and you can meet new people, you can see people.
Everyone smiles on it. The pictures are only the smiles.
Everyone smiles and everyone goes, oh, they're on holiday 5 times a year. They're happy. Oh, I must not be happy then because I don't go on holiday 5 times a year. Or I don't drive a Rolls Royce. Oh, like I think everyone compares so much, but instead of just being honest and going, that's great for you. That's your life. But this is mine. I love this life. This is for me. And I think maybe that's another thing that makes me a bit different. Like I'm confident to go like, that's great for you. That's not for me. I don't have anything against you doing that. I'm not going to berate you about it, but that's great that it fills something up within inside you. It just doesn't do that for me. And that's okay as well. Same reason why some people are religious, some people are not. That's great for them. And it's great. It's great if you are and it's great if you're not. It's you. It's what works for you.
I think that's really, really important. But the thing that gets me is when people, like when you hear people say, no, I choose to do this. Cool. Don't moan about it then.
Yeah.
Like, because the point is you've chosen to do it. So it's your choice. You've must have weighed up the options. You must have done the analysis on what the near, intermediate and long-term future may well hold. You can not be happy about doing something that was part of that process. So getting up at 6 to go to the gym, you don't have to be kicking your heels together as you walk out the door, right?
Yeah.
But like, you've chosen to do that. It's your choice to do that.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that gets me is when then people then, oh, this is rubbish and this is this. It's like, well, why are you doing it then?
Which is my point exactly. Like, you definitely do have the control within reason, obviously. Like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I choose to do that. I don't like getting up. Like you said, I don't skip out the door for every gym session. So I have to force myself sometimes. No, you've chose this. And I say that to myself. This is what you chose. Go do it. You chose to do this. You're going to, if I'm one of these people as well, like, I'm like, even if I really, really don't feel like going, I'll sit there. It might take me literally until the time I have to leave to get myself out the door. So I'll be like, oh, I'm not feeling good today. And you can sit there and you can make an excuse. You can make 100 excuses when you don't want to do something. And then I go, oh, I've made all these excuses. And I go, yeah, I'm tired. Oh, I'm sore. I don't do this. And then I go, it gets to the time I go, oh, shut up, Rhiannon. You chose to do this. You do. If you don't go, you're going to sit there and go, you're going to waste that hour or 2 hours that you was meant to be in the gym doing what? And you're going to go in 10 minutes, I'm off. I should have gone, but then it'll be too late to have gone. So I think you've just got to, again, be honest with yourself. And I think that's when you find out if you really want to do something, if you've really chosen to do it and you really are committed to do it. Everyone likes to say, oh, I'll do that. But then when it comes to crunch time, everyone finds a way out of it. I think it's being honest with yourself, a lot of it. And I think I hold myself accountable a lot as well. Like, if I didn't go to the gym, you might not know. I might not have said to you I'm going to the gym, but I've said to myself I'm going to the gym. So if I don't show up, I don't need that you to call me and go, oh, you didn't show up, because I'll already be like having a word with myself going, why did you do that for an extra 10 minutes? Because you was tired. You're not tired no more now, but you've missed the opportunity to do something. You've missed the opportunity to learn. You've missed the opportunity to progress. Now you're behind. Maybe that is a strange thing. Maybe I do put, I know it can be counterproductive to be like that, but I just think it's up to you. It's up to you to do everything. You don't have to enjoy everything.
I think it's because you clearly have found your purpose and where you're supposed to be. And therefore you inherently love what you do. You don't enjoy it all the time, but like, as we've discussed, but you've found a purpose and you've got the direction, but more importantly, the discipline to be able to do it. And I think that if people don't have a purpose,
yeah,
and therefore then lack a direction, the discipline's hard to apply if you don't believe in where you're supposed to be going. Someone like David Goggins, who is like the most motivational person you'll ever hear, he will have those moments where he's like, I can't be asked.
Yeah.
But he just learned how to and got strategies to do it anyway, no matter what.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you do specifically?
I think if I've got an early, early morning session and I know, no matter if I've got 8 hours sleep, 10 hours sleep, 6 hours sleep, I know when that alarm goes off, I'm still going to be, oh, I'm comfortable in bed. I don't want to get up. I have made sure that, like, if I have my early sessions, my bag's already packed. Everything is laid out for me. So as soon as I wake up, it's there. I make sure I don't hang around either to like wake myself up. I'll go straight, get washed and dressed. I'm already washed and dressed now. I've got to do it.
Bags packed. Well,
if I'm washed and dressed and my bag's packed, what else am I got to do? You leave the house. If you give yourself time to do anything, it's like if you give yourself 30 days to clean your house, it's going to take you 30 days. But if you give yourself 10 minutes, you're going to run and try and do everything as efficiently as possible to get it done in those 10 minutes. And I think that's what it is. I don't give myself, maybe like, I don't know, it works for me. I know some people need to wake up, have a coffee, give themselves like 20 minutes before they do anything. But what works for me is I have to just do it. If I give myself time, that's just me giving myself time to say, no, stay here a bit longer. Don't worry. You can catch up. Or, oh, is the other person going to be in the gym? Like, all I worry about is, get up, just do it. Shut up and do it. And I say that to myself. Like, I have little, like, it sounds strange, but I set like little reminders on my phones for things during the day, like vitamins and whatever, and like I bought ones. But like, there's a certain, my evening session, I know when it comes around, I know every time what I have to leave, and I'm like, I'm tired at this point. I've already done a session or two before it. I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's the one I know is like my little demon that gets me. That will be the one that I'll go, oh, should I do it? Should I not? And I have like a reminder on my phone and it says, it pings up with a time and it says, you know what the time is. You've said it. So shut up and do it, or shut up and don't mention it again. So either I get on and I just do it and I keep my mouth shut and I keep the grunting and the moanings myself, or I'm going to sit at home and not go and be miserable and beat myself up about it. Don't mention it again then. Your words are not as good. I think I'm so honest with my word is my word. And I think, but not just to other people, it's to myself as well. Like I said, you might not know I plan to do 3 sessions today and I might only do 2. So as far as you're concerned, she's trained, she's done it. But for me, I know what I set out to do. And I think holding myself accountable is what gets me out the door and do it, because I don't need to tell anyone. I've never been a big what have I got to show off if I tell you before I'm going to do something? If I tell you after I've done it, you're going to be like, oh, well done, that good on you. If I go, oh yeah, I'm going to fly to the moon. Oh, okay then, good on you. When are you going to do that? Soon. It's just there's no time frame on it, and I don't like things like that. I'd rather just get up, get straight out the door, do it. And then once I've done it, you feel amazing anyway. Whenever you've accomplished anything, you're like, yes, I've ticked that off today. I've ticked that off now. I've got 2 hours to do this. All right, I'm going to do that. I think getting the most out of what you do is like my biggest thing. Like I said, once my stuff's already there for me. So I haven't got to waste the time to do it or make an excuse. Oh, I'm late. Oh, I didn't know. No, it's already there. Get up, do it. That's it.
It sounds to me like, whilst you've got big goals, you've also got really tiny micro goals as well that you set yourself. Yes. And pre-planning and time management is key to packing your bag. I packed my bag yesterday. I'm going training in London later. So I packed my bag yesterday because I know that I've got about 3 bags with different things I've got on this week. But I know that gym bag's ready to go rather than pulling everything out and it just becomes carnage. It's already set.
It's like mental space as well, because if it's already done, you ain't even got to think about it and go, oh, wait, where is that? Oh, I thought I already had that in that bag. Oh, which bag is it in then? Oh, where did I put that? It's like, I think it's a lot of unnecessary mental clutter. And I think not a lot of people do. I think everyone needs, like, you need your purpose, your big goals, the things you really strive to achieve, like your 6-month goals, your year goals, your 5-year plan, whatever people's time frames are. But I also think you need your daily goals. I personally think if I have daily goals, then I know I'm moving forward in life. I know every day when I get up, I am getting that 0.1% better. Because if I was to just go, oh, quickly, that's the time, let me just go grab that bag. Oh, I have not checked, I don't know, the train time to go into somewhere. And I'm like, just turn up. It's just wasted time. It's poor time management. You don't feel like you've achieved anything, you've done anything. That's when a lot of stress comes, because you're worrying about things. Wait, what about this? What about that? Oh, who said this? She said that. Oh, did I say this? You don't have the time to just think to yourself, or like, I know, I quite like just not having sometimes like just moments where there's nothing. Like in your brain, you can admire life for what it is. You're on your run, you're just in your zone. You've got music on, but half the time you're not really listening to it. You're like, you're looking around. If you've gone and run somewhere that's really nice and scenic, you can actually absorb that. And then that as well makes you feel better. Like if I get up at 6 and I know I've got training, I've got to be at the gym for 7:15 and I've already pre-packed my bag. I've already got like my food prepped for the day. By the time I've got to the gym, I've ticked off 3 boxes. And then plus actually doing what I said I was going to do, I'm like, it puts me like a little spring in my step, like, oh, I've achieved something today and I've still got this to do. It's like start as you go on to proceed. Like if you don't have that, then not many people, it's easy to just go, oh yeah. If your mate goes, oh, do you want to go for lunch today? But you had to do something and you're like, oh, but you didn't prepare to do something. You're going to go, do you know what? Yeah, I'll do it. Oh, I'll catch up with that one tomorrow. I'll do that one next week, Monday. Start of January, it just becomes a snowball effect. But I realized that it goes for everything. if you don't have a system or a process, like, it can be generalized for everything. It's not just specific to just sport and training, because you need, I don't like having to do like repetitive stuff. I don't like a schedule as such, but you need that structure. Otherwise, everything's just blur. That's what I personally think anyway.
Do you ever get any self-doubt?
Yeah, I think 100%. I think everyone's scared to say they do. I say, I think I have to, and I have to admit it, and I have to acknowledge it. Otherwise, it just creeps up on you.
So how do you know that you're getting it?
Anything can do it. So I've always been very realistic. I'll look at something like, for instance, I'm going to have a fight. I know no matter how much effort I put into training, there's always a 50-50% chance. Someone has to win and someone has to lose. I know straight off the bat that's what's going to happen. So all I can do, all I can control, is making sure that my effort, my training, everything is on point for me to be, to better my odds at being the better half of the 50%, the one that's going to win. That's what I have to acknowledge. I can go, you can go, oh, do you want to fight this person tomorrow? I go, yeah. Because I will, because that's me going, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then as you're training, because it's something you actually care about, you have to get nerves. Otherwise, you don't really care about it. That's the way I feel. If you don't have nerves, you don't really care. You're not focused. You're not, because you need that. You need that to, I don't know, to get you, to push you through maybe the hard bit of your workout. I don't know, maybe everyone needs something. Some people need that. You can't do that. And sometimes you need that. Well, can I do that? Should I do that to push through it? And I accept that someone has to win and someone has to lose. I accept that I can only control myself. I can't control what the other person's doing. I can't control their training or who they train with. So I focus on all I can control. And I go, yep, okay. And I acknowledge my feelings and say, it's okay to feel like that. You're doing something that's not normal. You're doing something that's out of your comfort zone. You have to have that fear there or that self-doubt. And I just go to myself, you're not the only one that thinks like that. Everyone thinks like that. You've accepted it. At least you've acknowledged it now. We can control how it affects us. I can control how I can use that. I don't let it use me. I don't go into a little hole and go, let it gobble me up and become a demon. I go, okay, I'm feeling really anxious there. I'm really nervous to go, I don't know, to another gym and spa. I don't know how it's going to go. And, oh, what if I look like this? And I go, okay. But what if you look great? What if you do pull it off? What if you get on brilliantly with these people? What does that go into? That's another opportunity for you to go and train somewhere else, to learn off of a new way of doing something. So I think it's all about being able to control it and not let it control you.
What's it like fight week? Does it get worse? Like the day of the fight when you wake up in the morning?
No, like I think I love it because I think you get it.
What do you love about it? What do you love about it?
Because the more you train and the harder you train and the more you tick off, like for me, the more I'm ticking off all these mental boxes, I'm like, I've got this. Like I've done everything I can for it to not. So if it goes wrong, it's just, that's the way it was meant to be. I don't sit there if it goes wrong and go, well, if you did go and do that, if you did eat clean that day, if you did go for that run, if you didn't miss that session, I try and make it so there's nothing I can say, oh, you should have done that, Rhiannon. If you didn't do that, you could have achieved this. So I've left every stone until I've done it all. So therefore I love it because during fight camp, you do, after a couple of weeks, you go, oh, maybe you do get self-doubt, you have a bad spot, but because you care, that's when it gets you. You're like, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Why was I shit today? Oh no. Like, is that what happens if that happens in the fight? So you do have to control it. And then the more the weeks go on, I'm like, but if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. But I've prepared to the point where it shouldn't go wrong. and it can't go wrong. And then you're feeding your mind and you're feeding your body with so much positives. But I've seen all the outcomes. I've seen the outcomes of me winning in different ways. And I'm going to be honest, I've seen the outcome where I lose. And I go, okay, what is the worst thing that can happen to me if that happens? Okay, say I get injured. I'm just going to have a couple of weeks off training, or maybe I have to change something out to prevent that injury from happening. Okay, maybe I just lose. I get another chance to go again in a couple of weeks. I'll still fight again. I don't let it be the be-all and end-all. And I think a lot of people that are passionate about things maybe don't. I know people shouldn't look at the negatives. I understand that. But I think you have to be realistic and still accept what could happen. Because when it does happen, I think that's where a lot of people's minds go. And a lot of people after sport, like some people will be undefeated their whole career and lose. And then their mind's gone. They can't train again. They can't fight again because they didn't picture that happening. They haven't experienced it internally to go, that's okay. So their mind goes, or like, if you've got like a goal and it's your main goal in the world and then you hit it and there's nothing after, it's like, what are you then? I think people identify themselves with their sport or with their passion. And then when that's gone or that's achieved or that's taken away from them, it's like, whoa, who am I? What am I without this? What do I even like? I think you have to feed your mind at the same time as doing everything you can to prepare. So I think that's a lot of it. If you fail to prepare, then you're prepared to fail. So I think that's a lot of why I do the things I do. And that's why by the time it hits fight week, I'm like, oh, I know I've done everything. I love this. This is what this, like, it's actually finally here. It's not weeks and weeks of still training or, oh, I don't like this part. It's like, yes, it's here. Let's go. Let's do it. And I think Cowboy Cerrone says it the best. If they say to you, they're not nervous, they're not scared, they don't feel anything, they're lying. Because you've got to feel, if you generally love that, you've got to feel something about it. Whether you're giddy or you're excited or you're nervous, it doesn't have to be bad nervous. You can be nervous because like, oh, everyone's there, your adrenaline's going, like your body's feeling something. So I think, yeah, I love it.
Are you ever scared of failure then?
Yeah. I not failure, I'd say. I wouldn't say I'm scared of failing. I would say, how would I put it? I think in terms of fighting, I'm not scared of failure. I'm not scared to lose. I understand that's part of the sport. I'm not scared to get hit. I'm not scared to be hurt or injured. I have accepted all those things. If I get a leg break like Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva, Conor McGregor, I understand that is, but that's something I've accepted already. I understand that. What I think is the thing that gets me is I don't like to let other people down. So I think, I know it has nothing to do with it, but like, I feel like if I lost all the people that have come to see me and supported me in a way, I've let them down. So maybe that's my thing. I wouldn't say I'm scared of failing. I'm scared of not being fully committed to something when I say I am. And then in the end, letting other people down, or like, you know, like people say, if you don't train hard or like you don't put all your effort in, you're even though you're letting yourself down, you're letting down the person that's believing in you. And I think maybe that's what my problem is. That's my fear, I guess.
Are you as confident in your professional life as your personal life?
Yeah, I am pretty much the same. Don't get me wrong, there's different things that I'll have like less confidence over, but that's just like general life things. But 100%, I still have my things to tick off. If I do anything, I have to do it to like the full extent. I have to go, like, if I'm going to run, I'm going to run properly. I'm not there to just pass the time of anything. If I go to work, like, I'm going to work to actually do something. I'm not going to work to just waste 8 hours of my life being there. Like, I've never been the one, like, you always get someone that hides in the toilets, like, at work, or tries to get as much time away from their desk or away from doing whatever you're doing. And you just think, like, just don't come in then. If you don't want to do it, don't come in. Why? What's the point? Like, if I'm going to do something I don't like, and at least get something out of it. That's that's what I think, and that's what I carry over into everything, I think.
What's next for you in terms of fights, fight-wise?
So, yeah, still going to carry on with the fights. I'm going to go, I think, we're looking for fights summer after summer. I'm going to be doing jits comps in between that.
Are you doing...
They just come up more regularly.
So in terms of your MMA fighting, though, your career, you recently won Southeast Cage Warriors.
Yeah, I defended my title last month.
So... when is there going to be a look to step up to national Cage Warriors events at any point in the future? What's the plan? How does that work?
So currently, the reason why I'm the Cage Warriors Southeast is because that's the amateur. So I'm an amateur at the moment. So after a few more fights, then obviously I'll progress to pro, which is the normal Cage Warriors that everyone shows on. And Cage Warriors, once I'm doing great on them, high level and doing what I'm meant to be doing, then the next option for me, well, the next progressive way for me is to go to UFC. That's like the goal.
Is that the plan?
Yeah, that the UFC is like, I don't know, if he was in football, like being the Premier League, I guess, or being like Champions League. But like, that's like the goal. Like, but again, you've just got like experience everything on the way. Again, that's sort of something I'll do in my own time as well. It's hard. I have to pull myself back sometimes to go, there's no need to rush it all and just go balls to the wall and take every fight and do every competition and do this and do that and race myself through it. I understand that you have to learn between your fights. I have to learn, understand like new things to add. I always like to add things and to change things. I don't like keeping things the same as well, because I think, again, you become into a pattern of habit and comfort. And so I always like to, the times I have like between now and my next fight soon, like then, okay, right, what are we going to do then? Right, what way can we train differently? What is going to benefit us a little bit more than it did last time? What didn't really benefit us? And I think you've got to constantly build and grow in between, so that when you get to the fights, they constantly go like, I'd like every fight to be better than my last fight. I don't want anyone to watch my fight and go, that's kind of what she always does, or we've watched her fight, but it's not exciting, or there's no change. I think you've just got to have development, you've got to have like progression. That's what I'm saying. Like, so I see the roadmap, I know how to get there. Now it's just about me filling up the little spaces in the ladder to climb to get there.
And what sort of time frame are you looking at realistically for you to maybe turn pro? And then What's the is there like a precedent that's set when you're pro that if you're going to get picked up by the UFC, then what does that look like?
So I'm quite lucky to be part of and to be on Cage Warriors events, because Cage Warriors over here is like, it's the biggest MMA show in Europe. And not only that, it's also a lot of talent from Europe, from England, that's in the UFC comes from Cage Warriors. So it's like the college of UFC, so you know the eyes are going to be there. It's broadcast on UFC Fight Pass, and I know there's agreements and deals that go on behind the scenes, so it's like it's quite a good place for me to be in. I know already
there's good exposure.
There's going to be that exposure and those eyes there. It's just going to be about me making sure the eyes are on me, not just on the events. So yeah, within a few more fights then I'll turn pro, and then I'd say a few fights of me being pro, maybe that might take, I don't know, depending on when fights come up and stuff like that, maybe a year or two, a couple years. And then for me, I'd like my UFC contract then. And then like, it gives me all that time to be in the UFC, get the UFC bell, and like, just really enjoy the journey. Cause like every time you step up, not only do you step up in like quality of fighters and times and rule sets, but like, it just like opens like new doors, like new gyms to train at, new people to meet, new like UFCs, international. So as Cage Warriors, like, okay, you're fine on Cage Warriors, but like, I'm going to go San Diego and do it and stuff like that. And then while you're over there, you meet the other fighters. I don't know. I think I'm like quite like a little traveler, like meeting everyone along the way. And like, because I know it's progressive in my career, but it's also progressive in my life. Who wouldn't want to know all these people that have similar interests to you and that have different ways of seeing things? Like, you see a kick different to the way I see a kick, but I want to learn the way you see it as well as you want to learn. Like, I quite like that idea of things. I think that's like my goal is just travel, experience new things, meet new people and fight. And if fighting does that for me and can get me into those places and realms, then that's perfect for me.
Well, mate, I know firsthand how bloody minded you are, driven, determined, and when the chips are down, how much you can still stay focused from what we did over the summer last year. And, you know, it was very impressive, not just because you're a woman, just anyway, like you don't often see that level of commitment to something when it's not an enjoyable experience. And so whilst you sit here and you are smiley and you're very, like, you know, lovely to talk to and you're, you know, nice person, I know fine well that, you know, if it's going to happen to anyone, it should happen to you, because you sit here and you talk the talk, but I know that firsthand that you walk the walk. So I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you. I really appreciate you.
In your next steps. And I'm, you know, with a bit of luck, then UFC will come knocking on the doors in a few years' time.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, it'll be wicked to see.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on as well, and like even considering me, really, to be honest.
It's amazing. Like, you know, there was no consideration required. It was like I said, I know firsthand. Like last year, as soon as we're on the beach, as soon as I spoke to or we started, I went over to Sam. I said, "Have you seen her?"
Yeah,
and he was like, "Yeah." Like all the lads were like, "Who is this lunatic? Who is this pocket rocket? I need some of that. Like, what's going on?"
But I love that experience. Like, again, I did it to like, I was like, right, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly. Went there, done it. And like, I've met you, we stay in contact and like the other boys and stuff like that. So like, it just fits perfectly. Like, I don't know, my life, like I've got a good groove at the moment. So I guess like, yeah, it's going well.
And you need to stay in that groove, and you've got a formula to stay in the groove. So that's the other thing. As soon as you stop doing what you're doing now, you're not in a groove anymore.
Exactly. You know what
I mean? So
if you take one day off training, then you'll take the next day off, and then the next day, and then I've lost a week. Or it goes with anything. If you go, oh, do you know what? I'm not going to go into work today. Then tomorrow comes, you go, oh, I still don't want to go to work today. You might not have even done anything on your time off, but for me, it's just using any bit of time I've got to do something I love or something that's progressive. Like I said, it doesn't even have to be something I'm happy to do. I know I just need to get something out of it. I just can't float around like that. I can't be in a job I don't like. I can't just do those things because I'm not getting anything out of it. Even if I didn't like it, if there's something that I get out of it, I'm good. But if I'm not getting nothing out of it, I'm definitely not happy or enjoying it. It's not for me.
That's wicked. Love it.